Welcome back to Unmastering Motherhood. Today, we're going to talk about my Mother's Day fiasco. Just wait till you hear about this, you guys. OMG, that's all I have to say. And I'd like to share with you a commitment and journey that I'm going to be starting soon. I hope you guys had an awesome Mother's Day. Mine was great for the most part. You know, for Mother's Day, there are three things that I must have. And to you, it might be kind of crazy, but I mean, some of you may be able to relate. But on Mother's Day, I don't want to cook. I don't want to change diapers. And I need alone time. That means no responsibility for the kids. I don't want to do anything but relax. So, you know, for starters, my husband took me out to eat. That Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday, I did not have to cook. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Plus, I am a foodie, so I love going out to restaurants. I was winning. Mother's Day was awesome. And yes, you heard that right. I was winning until I got this phone call. In fact, I got three phone calls. I didn't know the number, so I Googled it. Who has not done that? If you haven't, you should try it. I mean, you can figure out if it's a bill collector, if it's someone you may know. I mean, I just do this because I don't like answering the phone calls of people that I don't know. And if you don't leave a message, I don't call you back. So that's kind of just like my rule. But it just so happened this person kept calling me. The second time I was like really trying to figure out, do I know this number? I don't know this area code, whatever. They called back a third time. And the third time, they actually left a voicemail. So, you know, I have an iPhone, so I'm reading the voicemail. I didn't actually listen to it. I'm just reading the voicemail on my phone. And everything happened so fast because as I'm reading, someone is also knocking on my door. So I'm like, what's going on? I see something about kids. And then I hear this crazy knock at the door. I instantly jump up out of my room where I'm nice and cozy in my bed, relaxing. No responsibility, remember? So I yelled like, Travis, oh, you know, I wanted him to open the door, somebody, but I just ran. I saw my friend and she's my neighbor. And the look on her face, she was saying something to me. I vaguely remember her like trying to like calm me. So I could tell she must have known that I was in a panic, but she said something like, they have your kids, and it's all kind of vague because I guess the adrenaline in me was really raging. But anyway, I'm walking down the street. She's like guiding me. It's my children. They have walked down the street, and not only down the street, but half or the first part of a roundabout, they crossed over. At least that's what I'm assuming because that's where this family was that had them. Thank God they were not hurt. But honestly, I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, I just grabbed my kids. I think I was so mad. I was embarrassed. I was all these emotions, but I wasn't really feeling anything at that moment. It wasn't until I got back in the house, I freaked out. I was like, Ryan, give me some water. I need some air. The feeling was very familiar. I knew that I was like about to have a panic attack, or I was having a panic attack or something. But thankfully, I was able to like calm myself down, remind myself like, Kelly, it's all good. They are safe now, whatever. But you know, the adrenaline was just kicking up so much. It was crazy that I didn't even like feel anything until I got back home and got settled. So long story short, Kree and Knox got out the house without me knowing, without my husband knowing, without Ryan knowing, who's 12. Kree is 4 and a half, and you know, Kree has Down syndrome. And then you have Knox, who's 2 and a half. And, you know, now that I've talked to Knox and I've had time to settle down, and really come to grasp with it. Knox, like, was really telling me what was going on. He said that Cree was going to school and that Cree ran out the house and he was following Cree. But, I mean, I can say it's kind of silly now, but they had gotten new book bags that same day. They were playing with them. So I'm thinking they both put the book bags on, thinking they were going to school. They walked down the street. I mean, you guys, it was a mess. Hot mess, okay? But that day, I felt so much guilt and embarrassment, I think. I was just worried. It was just like this sense of worry the rest of the day. Like, I had to talk to my friend about it. Then I called another friend and I was like, can you just like pray for me? Because I go to her for prayer. Like, she is my partner. And she just like calmed me down. And everybody else that I did share it with, they were like, Kelly, it happens, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I wasn't really trying to hear that at that moment. That's not what I wanted to hear. Although it's what I needed to hear, you know. But you guys, what really saved them was the tags on their shirt. We had went to church that morning and the tags have our phone number on it in case anyone needs to reach us. So thank God, you know, thank God that he orchestrates things to work so perfectly. This family used the phone number that was on their tags and they called me. The sad part is I didn't answer the call. On that day, I ignored the call. But for me, it's not really surprising. I already don't like talking on the phone. I didn't know the number. And I ignore a lot of phone calls. I'm sure there's some type of deep-rooted issue as to why I don't like talking on the phone or why I, you know, procrastinate in calling people back, etc. But maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But on that day, I ignored the call. And as I was reflecting and thinking about what I really wanted to talk about in this podcast, I asked myself, how many times do we ignore calls? Or how many times do we ignore the calling? How many times do we know something may be wrong, but choose to address it later? I'll call you back later. I'll talk about that later. I think it's mostly due to the fact that I'm reading this great book that I have been reflecting on a lot of things. It's a book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkhurst. And in the third chapter, there was a passage that really stood out to me, and I want to share it with you guys today. So take a listen and definitely take some notes. On that day, I ignored the call, but for me, it's really not surprising because I don't like talking on the phone that much. It's just not my preference. I definitely prefer text. But as I reflect, I think about how the circumstance could have been different if I would have answered on the first call, or what if something bad had happened and I, you know, could have known sooner, or I don't know. But when something tragic like that happens, you know, it makes you think about all the what ifs. So on that day, I ignored the call. And as I was reflecting, I was thinking about what I really wanted to talk about in this podcast. And I asked myself, how many times do we ignore the call? How many times do we know that I probably should pick this up? I probably should talk about this with someone. I probably should just talk to her or him about this situation instead of just ignoring everything. There has to be a reason that I do those things, and I'm sure many of you do too. So how many times do we know something may be wrong but choose to address it later? I think I'm doing all this reflecting because I'm reading this awesome book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkhurst. And in her third chapter, there was a passage that really stood out to me, and I want to share it with you today. So please take notes. Feeling the pain is the first step toward healing the pain. The longer we avoid the feeling, the more we delay our healing. We can numb it, ignore it, or pretend it doesn't exist, but all those options lead to an eventual breakdown and not a breakthrough. The feeling of the pain is like a warning light on the dashboard of our car. The light comes on to indicate something is wrong. We can deny it. We can ignore it. We can assume it's a little glitch in the operating panel. We can even go to a mechanic and ask him to turn off that annoying little light. But if he's a good mechanic, he would tell you it's foolish not to pay attention to it. Because if you don't attend to it, you will experience a breakdown. The warning light isn't trying to annoy you. It's trying to protect you. And pain is much the same. It's the pain we feel that finally demands we slow down enough to address what's really going on below the surface. I don't know what pain you're going through today, but I suspect whatever it is, it's got some roots of disappointment. You didn't think life would be like this. You didn't think circumstances would be like this. You didn't think you'd be like this. You didn't think they would be like this. I'm adding this in. You didn't think motherhood would be like this. You didn't think your marriage would be like this. You didn't think your job would be like this. It also says, you didn't think God would be like this. And depending on the level of pain, you'll use different words to describe your feelings. Words like disillusioned, devastated, let down, driven to the brink of utter frustration. Whatever it is, the roots of all these feelings can be traced back to disappointment. You are expressing that your experience of life isn't matching your expectations of how you thought life would be. Those feelings are painful, and that pain must be addressed. Yes, that's what it is, guys. I have some disappointment, and it's kind of unsettling for me, and it has been for a while. So I want to do something about it. I've been talking to a couple of friends, and we have had the most amazing conversations about therapy, and I so appreciate those ladies for being so vulnerable and sharing. And I am usually like the therapist. I give such great advice, and it's not that I really don't take my own advice, but I feel like I need a therapist, and I need someone to find the like recurring things in my life. I need somebody to like hear and hold my pain, my thoughts. I need them to just listen to me. So that's my big commitment. I want to commit myself to going to therapy because I know that we repeat what we don't repair. And I'm tired of repeating some of the same behaviors, some of the same thoughts. Ever since having my third child, Knox, who is 2.5 now, I have just not felt the same. After I had my daughter, who's 12, I felt great. After I had my son, Cree, I felt great. At least that's what I thought. From my first two pregnancies, in my opinion, I felt like I dealt with them great. Afterwards, I had great care, great support. Even after my third child, I had great support, great care. But I knew that emotionally, I was not the same. And ever since then, I feel like my emotions are so different. And they're just like all over the place for the most minuscule things sometimes. I mean, just a simple example, it's like now when I watch movies, I can cry in an instance. And that was just not me in the past. I can read a passage in a story and bawl. I can think about something and tears won't stop flowing. It's so bad. Like, oh my gosh, even in church, I'm just so emotional. Talking to friends sometimes, so emotional. In my Bible study groups, I all the time want to cry. It's just so emotional for me. And it's maybe because I like process a lot of things internally now for some reason. I don't know. I think through a lot of things. Maybe I'm an overthinker, but I know for sure that after having this third child, my emotions are all over the place. I kind of want to touch on postpartum because I was never diagnosed with it, but I do feel that that is something that I was going through. I can recall, I'm not sure if I was pregnant or not, but I think I was in between pregnancies and just talking with friends, and we had many discussions about postpartum. I would say that our conversations around postpartum were definitely judgy. We were so off into thinking about what postpartum was and was not. We were just definitely off. I think so many times people think of postpartum as like wanting to hurt yourself or wanting to hurt or cause harm to your child. And that's not the type of postpartum, or that is not a part of postpartum that we're going to talk about today. But for me, it was just, I want to talk more about the emotional side of things. But again, I want to also highlight that I just didn't really think that people could really go through these things and call it postpartum. Now, as I look back, I'm okay with thinking that maybe I did have postpartum. But back then, I didn't want those negative connotations on me. However, I knew that I had to talk to someone. That wasn't a therapist, but it was my husband. I can recall telling Travis that I just felt so often that I felt disconnected with Knox. I breastfed him. So, you know, one would think you breastfeed, you're really close to your baby. That's your bonding time. And I really, really tried. Like, I just let him lay around me all the time. I held him. I tried to take so many pictures with him to capture memories. And it's sad to say that I can look back at pictures now and I just don't really recall a lot around his infancy, those times. I knew something was off, like I said, and I knew I had to tell someone as I was processing those thoughts that I don't feel the same, but I don't want to take medication. I don't want to go talk to a therapist. I don't want somebody telling me I have postpartum because I was just afraid that, you know, maybe they'll take my baby away from me because they think that I am not a great mom or that my child will be unsafe. But that's not how I felt. But I did have some type of sense of responsibility that I needed to tell someone. I decided to tell my husband. And he really supported me, and I definitely felt the love from him. I definitely felt the support from him. I could tell him when I needed a break, when I, you know, may have been overwhelmed, or just my true feelings about my newborn son. I can even recall my mom making a statement, you know, later on that she too may have thought that it was like postpartum, or that it's now just hitting me that, you know, my second child who had Down syndrome or who has Down syndrome, she had said that maybe that was like a trigger for me, and that, you know, because right after I had had him, I just went like full force into being an advocate, to being involved in every Down syndrome program I can be in, to overloading myself with information, and then adding on a third child, you know, may have just been the trigger that set me in a spiral. I do think that I was in a spiral emotionally. I was getting by, you know, but again, I just felt like I can get through it. And I did, prayerfully. I did, because I know I had people praying for me. I know that I was surrounded by support and positivity. And I know that's something that a lot of women don't have and don't experience, but, you know, it was my experience, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. But even to this day, I can think back on how my life is so different, and I am dealing with like anxiety at times, and I have dealt with panic attacks in the past. So that trigger from Mother's Day, them getting out of the house, oh my gosh, it was so triggering to me. I definitely know that I was about to have a panic attack, or that I did have a panic attack, but now I know how to calm myself down. I know how to relax a little bit. But still, it's just something that I don't really want to deal with that anymore. So that's why I said I am making the conscious decision to go talk to a therapist, because I want to address so many things, and I'm very excited about it, actually, to be going to talk to a therapist. I just want to lay it all out, you know? When I think back and reflect, I probably was in a state of disappointment. That's probably why things went the way they went. My life wasn't 100% where I wanted it. I was trying to be the best mom, a super mom, and juggle this new life as a special needs parent too, you know. It just really hit me with this third child. I was and I am the queen of self-care. I get my mani and pedis. I get my brows done. I get my hair done. I go to girls' nights out, plenty of those. Date nights with my husband. I get my me time. I attend social events. I buy things that make me happy, etc. I do all the things. I do all the things that you probably describe as self-care. But I was reading this article the other day, and the title was, Self-Care is Not Enough. I can check off a list, and I have the self-care game on lock, according to myself. But I also know that, and let me say, I know now that self-care really is not enough. I have been balancing between fine and functioning. And for the most part, I'm fine, but I also know that I'm just functioning in some aspects of my life. I'm making the conscious decision to get a therapist, not because I think it's going to fix everything, but I just think it's a part of self-care. It's something that I have been missing out on, and I want to try these awesome benefits that everybody is talking about. I want to see a change in my life. I want to see improvements. I want to learn some new skills. Overall, I just think it'll make me a better mom. If you think you are dealing with postpartum anxiety, panic attacks, or you just want someone to assess your mental health, please, I am encouraging you to talk to a doctor. Share this information with your spouse, family, or a close friend. Let's stop the stigmas surrounding these issues, and let's take care of ourselves so we can continue successfully on our motherhood journeys. I know you hear it on the radio. I know you see it on TV. I know you read about it in magazines. You're probably already doing it because I am. I know you talk about it with your friends. It's everywhere. Self-care. You know that word. And according to Apple, self-care apps were amongst the most downloaded apps of 2018. I want you all to know that self-care matters, but self-care is not enough. It's not. As women, we deal with so many things, and we're so emotional at times, and we hold things in, and we make it work, and we're strong, and we're this, and we're that. And being a mom adds even more to our lives. It's okay to talk to someone. Add therapy to your self-care list. I am adding it to mine. I want to know about your experiences with therapy. I'm going to make a special post on my Instagram and Facebook pages. I'm asking that you go there, comment, and share your experience, because you never know. Your experience could be helping someone else. Our time is up, ladies, but I want to leave you with this. If you lost your cool today, or maybe didn't play as much as you would have liked to with your kids, If you had to work overtime, couldn't make it to a practice, if you were looking at your phone during dinner, or you didn't even cook dinner, just remember, it's okay. You're okay. It was just not your best day. Stop being your own worst enemy and just be the awesome mom that your kid already thinks you are. Have a great week.